time for a word? You know, it's God, I'm just watching God do things, and it's just fun. Praise God. Trust. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. Or train relentlessly under Scripture's tenacity. Amen. How about take rest under Scripture's therapy? You know, you need therapy. You need tenacity. You need all that. You need a refuge. Jesus is a refuge. There is part of the definition of refuge is a source of help, relief, or comfort in times of trouble. As long as we are in this world, there's going to be trouble. Jesus said that. In the world, you're going to have trouble. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we can trust him. He gave his life for us. Refuge, a source of help. Source, make him your source. He is your source. God is a source of life. God has your, he's the beginning, he's the end. He knows everything. He knows you. He's bigger than you. He's smarter than you. And he loves you. Man, that's a good combination. Those three things. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And before we do anything else, let's do our weekly confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, period. He doesn't change. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Let's read that again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Now, a lot of people read it like this. Trust in the Lord with just about everything you got and then give it a little more oomph. You know, just try as hard as you can. You know, what else can you do? Did Jesus ever talk like that? Did the Apostle Paul ever talk like that? Mm-mm. Then why do we talk like that? Oh, you just got to do the best you can. That's all you can do. That totally negates the power and the life of the Word, the effortless change that the world brings to you and to your situations in life. Give it almost everything you got and then give it a little more oomph. Oomph! You know, that's what I thought praying the Spirit was. You know, just give it a little more oomph. And that's not praying in the Spirit. That's human effort. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not. Don't rest or don't lean. Picture you're leaning against a wall. Lean not to your own understanding. In other words, come away from that. Stand up. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The next verse. And he will direct your path. Amen. Now this is in a blood sworn oath. This Bible is a book of blood covenants. This book is what God swore to you that he would fulfill. Now when God made covenant with Abraham, Abraham took a bull and split it in two. And the way that they formed a covenant in those days was that one party would say this, they would commit to this, one party would say this, and they would both walk through that blood of that, meaning that if I don't fulfill my part of it, and you don't fulfill, then what will happen to you is what just happened to that bull. This is a life commitment. This is a life and death commitment. In other words, God committed to Abraham that he would fulfill all his word. 2,000 years Jesus came. He fulfilled that. Jesus fulfilled everything that the Father had for him to fulfill. And then put it all on the cross, bled for us, died for us, so that we, the gates of heaven are opened up to anybody who believes in that blood. There is no amount of Ten Commandments that you can ever obey that would get you to heaven. All the Ten Commandments were to do, the purpose of the Ten Commandments wasn't for you to live up to them. You got to understand that it was to reveal who God is and who man is. It was to reveal the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man. It was to reveal the fact that you can't live this. I'm sending a Savior, the Messiah. He swore in the garden that he would send him, that he would bruise his heel on his head. And he did it. He swore it in an oath. An oath that cannot be altered, annulled, changed in any way. And he said, trust in me and don't lean to your own understanding. This is not going to fail. We are so used to human failure, human weakness, human this, human that. Man's ways, man's religion, man's philosophies. And none of them are permanent. God's word is permanent. It is eternal. It goes just as far back as it does forward. It cannot fail. It will not fail. When you walk on it, it will lift you up. What do you think Peter walked on when he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come! And in that word was fulfilled. It came the power with it into Peter, and he walked. He wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word of Jesus that said, come. Amen. He was walking on the word of God. And then when he was out there and he started looking at something else, where did his trust go? His own understanding kind of peaked. He said, what in the world am I doing? And really started questioning it, and boom, just that fast. And what happened, though? Jesus picked him up. Now, here's what I like. How do you think they got back in the boat? They walked over to it. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like the Lord's telling you to do something, and it's like impossible to you? How can I do this? Well, Mark 9:23. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. All things are possible with God. In fact, let's turn there. Mark 9:23. Now, these are not the words of some irresponsible dreamer, somebody who flips here and there. Jesus said. Now, when God speaks, it comes with the power to fulfill itself. That word comes with an enabling and empowering so that his word has power to change whatever is in you that is contrary to the word. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So how many things is not possible? Now, is all things possible to everybody? Only those who believe. So he's not talking to anybody, just anybody. He's talking to anybody who will believe. That's all he requires. That's all he requires is for you to believe him. Take him at his word. His word will not fail. His life, his commitment, everything is on it. Do you know that if Jesus failed, God would have had to destroy himself? That's how powerful that covenant is. But that's also how powerful, but it didn't fail, did it? And that's how powerful that blood is. That blood is powerful enough to wipe your sin out of God's memory, so it's got to be just as powerful to wipe it out of your memory. And to cleanse your conscience from everything. That blood washed me. That blood washed Lori. That blood continues to cleanse, continue to wash us, continue to work with us. It is the blood of grace. It is the blood of mercy. It is the greatest blood that was ever shed on this earth. Amen. What does this have to do with have no confidence in the flesh? Well, everything. Because to me, when I grew up and I heard Jesus died on the cross, I couldn't figure out, what does a guy dying on a cross 2,000 years ago have to do with me? Did you ever think that when you were a kid? I mean, his blood was, what's the big deal? I couldn't connect that. But no carnal mind can. No mind that is apart from God. And that's what your flesh is. The flesh, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are new creation. Old things have passed away. We don't have an old man living in us. There's no old man living in us. But our spirit has been recreated. But our soul and our body, I mean, look, when you were born again, you look in the mirror the next day. Did you recognize yourself? Yeah, because your body didn't change. If you were bald when you were born again, you're still going to be bald after that. Because your body didn't change, your mind didn't change, the thoughts are still there and everything. So what Paul told us to do is present our body as a living sacrifice, say, I'll go where you say to go, I'll do what you say to do, and then get your mind renewed with the Word of God.
Amen.
And when you get your mind renewed, well, how do you do that? How do you renew your mind? Filling it with the Word? Even more than that? That's a good platform. And by the way, last week I said something. I don't know what it was. And I said, for a show of hand, you know, what was it that I said? Do you remember? It was a question I asked. How many, you know, how do you write the Word of God on your heart? And somebody said prayer. That's a good answer. Somebody meditation. There's a couple other really good answers. In fact, those would have been my answers. And I said, well, those are all good answers, but incorrect. Because the thing is, we come here to get correction. That's what the Word of God does. Amen? The Word of God is given to us for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, you know, if you have something to say, say it. Maybe so that we can all learn from that. Amen? Because I'm just guilty as everybody else. I mean, nobody can rest on their laurels. We don't have any. It's all Him. Amen. Okay. So, where was I with all that? Oh, renewing of our mind. It says that to write the Word of God on the table of our heart. Truth, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Write them on the tables of your heart. And we talked about, how do you do that? Well, their tongue is a pen of a ready writer. You got to speak the Word. And in the New Testament, we've got a jump drive. I mean, we've got a power boost. How's that, Phil? Power boost. on the guitar. So you just step on the power boost and boom, it just gives you. It makes your strings sing. But just that little crack of distortion. That's good. In the New Testament, it tells us, it gives us a really good shortcut. And it says this. If I speak in an unknown tongue, pray that you may interpret. Ah, thank you. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, it doesn't say translate. I've had a lot of people say, you got to have a translator if you speak in tongues. I do. He's the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't give you a translation. He gives you an interpretation. Even in the Old Testament, these things, Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall. Many, many tekelu pharsin. And it was a pretty long interpretation. So it's not really a translation exactly, but it's an interpretation of what God is saying. And it carries the spirit of what God is saying. So pray that you may interpret, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind or my understanding is unfruitful. So it's important because in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And we just read, lean not to your own understanding. So whose understanding do you want in every situation that you encounter? You want God's point of view. You got his understanding because he knows the beginning and the end. He knows the way out of that thing. He knows the way into his blessing. He can guide you and lead you. But you got to have his understanding. How do you do that? Pray that you may interpret. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. This is how you get revelation too. Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody. He had more revelation than anybody. There's a connection there. He had more understanding. I mean, the understanding that he could grasp in his mind was absolutely amazing. We have the most complete message of what the gospel is in that man, Apostle Paul. It was all revealed to him, and he prayed in tongues more than y'all, and he interpreted. This is what he's saying. He's given us one of his methods of operation. Pray in an unknown tongue, speak in tongues, and then pray that you may interpret. Ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation. And if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Therefore, in all you're getting, get understanding. Let the Holy Spirit tell you and reveal to you what you were praying, what you were speaking. Because this is where the mysteries of God, for you, they're not locked up from you. They're locked up for you. And it's the Holy Spirit that unlocks that revelation. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation is all balled up in your mouth. Amen. Ready to be revealed. Amen. You know, it's like I just feel sometimes like when I'm praying in tongues, I'm at the starting block and I'm just waiting for God to show up. And when I hear that gun, keep your eye on that and pray in tongues. Keep your eye on the finish line. Keep your eye on the prize. Pray for that and expect that he's going to show you. Amen. Spiritual power is released in that. The only thing that is powerful enough, I keep on getting these things, I have a message here. But I it's okay. The only thing that is powerful enough to renew the mind, and by the way, that word renew, I keep saying this, and I say it and say it because you can't say it enough. That word renew is a Greek word, and it's kind of a compound, and it means to renovate. It means to tear out whatever was old and replace it with that which is new. That's the renewing of our mind. Over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. The world wants to conform you to its own image. But be transformed by the renovation of your mind. Tear out that old stuff. You no longer are stuck in the old with the old man, his old thoughts. Are you? You're not stuck. You know, so much of evangelical Christianity is people are saved and stuck. You ever notice that? They're just waiting for heaven. What? It's like the Great Commission didn't even exist. They're just trying to hang on for dear life, hoping that they make it to heaven. That's not what Jesus had for us. He had abundant life for us.
Amen.
That ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God wants you to walk in his perfect will. He wants you to walk in his acceptable will. He wants you to walk in his good will. There's a progression there. And it all leads to the perfect will of God. You know, as I was praying, actually giving that word to Phil this morning, something was coming to me now, is that there is a point in our life where if you just talk to God, pray in tongues, pray, get the gifts of the Spirit working in your life, get you adapted to those gifts, because they're always working. You don't have to turn them on or turn them up. You just have to acclimate yourself to what's already going on. And you listen to God. And you talk to God. And you pray to God. You will find he will answer you. He will give you the answer that you want. He will lead you where he wants to lead you. And there will come a time when it will just kind of blossom in your heart that you're actually experiencing his plan and purpose for your life. It's like when Joseph was elevated to the most powerful man in Egypt besides Pharaoh. He ruled Egypt. But just before that, he was in a dungeon. The dreams and revelation that he had when he was a young boy caused him rejection of his brothers. It caused him slavery. It caused him bondage in jail. It caused false accusations. The devil was trying to hit him every way he could. But he didn't bend to it, and he just remained faithful to the Lord, and the Lord exalted him, gave him gifts. A gift of interpretation of a dream. He went from the pit to the palace in one afternoon. And that someday you'll just realize that you are walking in his plan and purpose for your life. And it'll just dawn on you. It's not your effort to get there. It's just you doing the word, praying, working with the Holy Spirit, having him correct and adjust and teach you the ways of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And you realize all of a sudden that that dream that you had when you were first born again, that vision that you had of your life when you were first a child of God, that you're actually living it now. Really quiet in this Presbyterian church. God is with you.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord.
God.
And lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where transformation comes. That's the transformation that God wants to bring you in your life. We don't have time to go into everything else, but look. Don't place any confidence in the flesh. That's the part of you, by the way. The part of you, the flesh is everything. It's what man is without God. That's your flesh. It's the part of man that hates God. And with us, as we are born again, what the flesh is the residue of the old man and the thought patterns and the priorities and the value systems that he placed in your life as a servant of the God of this world. All that's residual, that's left over, that's the crud that the old man left behind. But you're not stuck with that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get God's thoughts toward you, the peace, and not evil. God has a hope,
yes,
and a future,
yes,
and a powerful life,
mm-hmm,
ready to just explode in you. And it's not you trying to get there. One thing I love about Dwight, and what increases my trust in him, you know, he took a job. He got away from a job that was really woke. The management started to get real woke, so he left that job. Went and got hired right away by another company, paying him very well. And as soon as he got that job, another company offered him like twice that. Right, Dwight? Say yes. Yeah. Okay. And you know what? He turned it down because he knew it was the will of God that he'd be in this job now. You can trust that man because his God is his heart. His heart is after the will of God. Money comes and money goes. But when you're standing before the Lord on that day and you say, Charles Nieman, you know who Charles Nieman is? He's a preacher. I've known him for years, but he's had a church down in El Paso, and he got offered to be pastor of large churches with all the perks, the high salary, everything, and he turned it all down because he knows that being in the will of God is the best place you can possibly be.
Amen.
Not that he was hurting for anything, you know, either, but he just said, this is the will of God. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, because you lead to your own understanding, that is the understanding of the flesh, and that is under the God of this world. Believe me, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be you don't want to be standing before the Lord when all is said and done singing, I did it my way. You don't want to be there. You don't want to take credit for it. You know, Jesus never took credit for one sermon that he ever delivered. Never took credit. He always gave it. It's the Father in me. He does the work. He speaks through me. He never took credit for anything. And if anybody could take credit for anything, it would have been him. But he didn't. He gave it all to the Father. And that's the way we need to be too. Trust. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. Take rest under Scripture's therapy. You need some therapy? Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Jenna in and to really get behind Leah and everything that she's doing. The blessings that are upon her for birthing this will continue to produce in your life. And because here's the thing. This is kingdom business.
Amen.
And kingdom business is something that God is involved in. And kingdom business is eternal. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. And it will prosper in its purpose. Lord, we open up our hearts and our minds and our understanding to the prosperity of your word in us, that it will fulfill everything that you sent it to do in us. It'll accomplish in us that finished work so we can stand before you and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, you call us children, you call us sons of the living God. We cannot fathom that in our mind. But Lord, your word cannot fail, and we are being transformed into your image more and more day to day. So Lord, help us as we go forth to keep our eye on the prize, to keep our mind on the things, on your thoughts toward us, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give us an expected end and a hope that's worth living. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. You're dismissed.